MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, June 7, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. A Salem man dies from injuries in a New Hampshire motorcycle crash. Marblehead names an interim school superintendent. The many services at the Beverly Library are highlighted here on North Shore Today.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, the Celtics get it done in Game 1 last night, and we'll have some tournament updates. Rick?
Alrighty, thank you, Bill. Clouds and sun, 70s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 12:43 p.m. A Salem man riding a motorcycle has died following an accident in Seabrook, New Hampshire. Boston 25 News reports that 47-year-old Alfred Ferrioli, riding on a Harley-Davidson, collided with a pickup truck and then left the road, eventually landing in a front yard. The report indicates that Ferrioli was attempting to change lanes and struck a truck driven by 45-year-old Daniel DeRuntz of Revere. Marblehead School Committee has selected John Robidoux as the district's new interim school superintendent. Ryan Vermette and Sophia Harris report in today's Daily Item, Robidoux has been serving as the superintendent with Swansea School District. The Beverly City Council held budget hearings last night for several of the city's departments. Beverly Library Director Allison Babin presented updates on the library's level services budget.
A final note and somewhat an acknowledgement of the recent spotlight the library has been under in regards to our HVAC issues. I do think a lot of residents take their library for granted and its services. And in some ways, they should. They deserve them. Access to information and books is a human right that everyone, regardless of income level, age, or other status, deserves to have. And that is what this library is here to deliver. We will continue offering all of these services, programs, and collections I've mentioned, and many more that I haven't, while working on our goals to continue enhancing them, making them more inclusive and accessible so that they can be enjoyed by all.
Coming up later on North Shore Today Extra, you can hear the entire library budget presentation and discussion at the City Council meeting from last night as it aired on BevCam. Salem State University Vice President of Student Success, Nate Bryant, will retire at the end of June after 36 years at the school. Bryant has held several important roles, including Vice President and Chief of Staff, Assistant Dean of the Center for Academic Excellence, and Assistant Dean of Students for Student Life, along with his experience as the Director of Admissions and Financial Aid and Multicultural Affairs. Bryant is a resident of Salem and served as the interim president at North Shore Community College. A new report is working to comply with the much-publicized MBTA zoning regulations. This is Mayor Sean Reardon speaking on this week's Mayor's Speaks podcast regarding the steps needed in order to be in compliance with the state.
So we submitted two options to City Council, right? Right now it's in the Planning Development Subcommittee. Once they vote that out of committee, it will go back to City Council, and then they will vote just to send what we've done so far and what we're doing. We're just building around the 40R smart growth district, right? So it's lucky we had that in place. It was easy to kind of work off that and get to the unit count that we needed for the zoning change. So we'll send that off to the state, and the state will look at it and see if we meet MBTA communities, and then they'll send it back to us, and then we'll officially vote. But we need to be in compliance by the end of the year. If you've seen some of the headlines around the state, there are some communities, like, say, Marblehead or Milton, who have decided to vote down MBTA communities, and now they're in a legal fight with the Commonwealth. So, like I said, I think we're in a much better position. As you know, there's a huge housing shortage here in Massachusetts, which, you know, when there's a shortage, right, the prices go way up. I think it's over 200,000 units or housing units that were down right now in Massachusetts. So, again, this MBTA communities was the last administration's way to kind of generate some of that housing production. And, you know, every community has to do their part. So, like I said, I think luckily we're in a better spot here in Newburyport because of that 40R district, so we can actually work right off that, and it doesn't affect other areas of town.
That's Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon. Sports next with Bill Newell, and then on North Shore Today Extra, hear from Beverly Library Director Allison Babin.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. Game one of the NBA Championship Series goes to the Celtics. They broke out early for double-digit leads and won 107-89. Game two of the series is Sunday night at 8. You're listening there to the Celtic locker room from last night. The Red Sox beat the White Sox last night 14-2. The two teams will play again tonight in Chicago. In tournament sports, the St. John's Prep baseball team plays at St. John's of Shrewsbury this afternoon. The Prep lacrosse team will host Franklin today. Marblehead and St. Mary's softball teams are still alive. Also, the Prep tennis team is shooting for a state title. The Daily Item is reporting today that Patrick Curran will be taking over the St. Mary's girls soccer program. Recently, Coach Jim Foley announced that he was stepping down. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Friday and great weekend. North Shore Today Extra is next with details on the Beverly Public Library. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. Game one of the NBA Championship Series goes to the Celtics. They broke out early for double-digit leads and won 107-89. Game two of the series is Sunday night at 8. You're listening there to the Celtic locker room from last night. The Red Sox beat the White Sox last night 14-2. The two teams will play again tonight in Chicago. In tournament sports, the St. John's Prep baseball team plays at St. John's of Shrewsbury this afternoon. The Prep lacrosse team will host Franklin today. Marblehead and St. Mary's softball teams are still alive. Also, the Prep tennis team is shooting for a state title. The Daily Item is reporting today that Patrick Curran will be taking over the St. Mary's girls soccer program. Recently, Coach Jim Foley announced that he was stepping down. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Friday and great weekend. North Shore Today Extra is next with details on the Beverly Public Library. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Today Extra. Today we're going to hear the extended comments of Allison Babin, who is the Library Director, City of Beverly, as she presented last night at the Beverly City Council some of the offerings at the Beverly Public Library and then a discussion on their budget. It's an extended audio clip, and the entire budget hearing can be heard and viewed on BevCam.
Good evening, counselors, and thank you for the opportunity to present the library's budget request for fiscal year 2025. I do want to recognize we have two library trustees here this evening, Mary Burley and Joanne Panunzio, here in support of the budget, so I want to thank them. This is a level service budget, and I would like to talk a little bit about what level service means at the library, because really it means quite a lot. Before I get into that, I would also like to put our public library within a larger context and share some data points with you. Did you know that a recent Gallup poll about U.S. libraries showed that U.S. adults reported taking 10.5 trips to the library on average per year, outpacing how many times they went to the movies, live sporting events, museums, concerts, amusement parks, or casinos? Visiting the library is the top cultural activity that Americans engage in. And this aligns locally with our own usage. We have tracked 171,645 visits to the library system so far this year, with almost a month left to go. This many people could fill the seats at Fenway Park about 4.5 times, actually a little over 4.5 times. Another way to look at it, this is about 15,000 visits per month. How do we get this number? We have door counter sensors installed on each entrance, which track the figures of how many people come in and, of course, account for their exits as well. So now that I've given you a sense of how busy the libraries are, back to this idea of level service and what that means at the library. It means that for the majority of the year, the main library is open 68 hours a week, the Farms Branch is open 53 hours a week, and the Bookmobile is visiting over 80 locations on a 3-week rotation. We are providing a robust physical and digital collection of books, ebooks, audiobooks, movies, magazines, even things like circulating hotspots, photo scanners, games, and so much more for people of all ages. Additionally, we're providing services ranging from Wi-Fi, study rooms, meeting room access, computer access, including printing, copying, scanning, answering reference questions. I keep looking over there because I feel like the mic is cutting out.
It just does that.
Okay. Answering reference questions, which includes a great deal of technology help. We provide notary service and more. Not one day goes by in the library where we're not helping people with computers and cell phones with tasks many find simple, but others find quite challenging. Folks are redirected to their public library by employers to fill out job applications online, by the RMV to fill out accident report forms, by UPS to complete Amazon returns, by their insurance companies to fill out medical forms, to name just a few examples. And I wonder, if there was no public library, where would all these people go? Who would help them? Where else can they get assistance with these things? Where really can anyone go, especially indoors, and not have to spend any money? When our librarian spent an hour with Roberta last month helping her customize her resume so she could get a new job, if that librarian hadn't been there, who would have helped her? When Tony comes in, who is on a fixed budget but loves to read about military heroes, where else would he be able to get a stack of 20 books at no cost? But please understand, this is just the smallest snapshot of what public librarians do. Every interaction we have is as varied as the people we serve, from tracking down an obscure audiobook series that is only available in the state of Kentucky, to checking out all the Colleen Hoover books to the Gen Z kids that are getting excited about her because of TikTok, to loaning a metal detector to a woman who lost her wedding ring. True story, and great news, she found it. We are working with the DEIB office to partner on community events, running story times filled with 50-plus kids and caregivers. Our youth librarians are out in the public schools giving book talks and issuing library cards. We create a story walk each year and move it around the city. We host weekly meditation sessions, cookbook clubs, author talks, animal shows, not to mention the hundreds of uses of our meeting rooms by community groups. So far this year already, the library has held over 700 programs with over 10,000 attendees. With summer on the horizon, we have tons of great events. Hopefully everyone already has a copy of this coming up, including this Saturday, we have our lawn party at the Farms Branch from 1 to 3. And next Wednesday, the 12th, is summer reading kickoff on the Common from 6:30 to 8 with a DJ, lawn games, snacks, the unveiling of our new story walk, and most importantly, the ability for people of all ages to sign up for summer reading. A final note and somewhat an acknowledgement of the recent spotlight the library has been under in regards to our HVAC issues. I do think a lot of residents take their library for granted and its services. And in some ways, they should. They deserve them. Access to information and books is a human right that everyone, regardless of income level, age, or other status, deserves to have. And that is what this library is here to deliver. We will continue offering all of these services, programs, and collections I've mentioned, and many more that I haven't, while working on our goals to continue enhancing them, making them more inclusive and accessible so that they can be enjoyed by all. Thank you again for this opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Babb.
Thank you.
Councilors, any questions or comments? Council President.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Babin, for being here, and thank you for the work that you and your team do every day. I'm just curious, you mentioned it, we've been hearing a lot about the level funding of the budgets. I'm wondering if you could share with us if there's anything that you feel like this budget doesn't allow you to do, or concerns that it raises for you, because there isn't the space to expand.
Sure. I mean, I think one area that's difficult is repairs. You'll see that the request was $50,000 this year, which is the same request as last year, and that isn't going to do any major repairs to the building. In fact, we even have some things lurking now that I would hope to be able to do with that annual appropriation, but wasn't able to. If you visited the library recently, you may have noticed there's a big panel of the fence missing, and I just don't have quite enough money to do that this fiscal year. So I'll do it next year, but you know, the buildings are aging and they have a lot of issues, so we do the best we can with what we have, but you know, it'll kind of just be the best we can do with that amount of money.
Chris.
Please.
Thank you for that. That's helpful. I was curious also, and I don't know if you can just add into this about the bookmobile, which I know you just mentioned how many visits it makes.
Mm-hmm.
Does the budget allow you to adequately, when you said repairs, I thought mm-hmm. about the bookmobile as well, wear and tear on that vehicle. Can you share a little bit about how it fits into your budget and how comfortable you feel with repairs
yeah.
that it might need or not need?
That's a great question. So it does have its own line, actually, for bookmobile maintenance and fuel, which is $5,000. And similarly, it allows us to kind of patch small issues that come up with it. We have been having a challenge with the generator on the bookmobile. The bookmobile is already, believe it or not, about 12 years old. A lot of people still think of it as new, and it's getting older, and it's a custom vehicle that's quite unique. Maybe, you know, hopefully in the future it would be electric and have less issues than it has now, given the way it runs on a generator. So that's a challenge. I hope that will be enough to keep it functioning through the year, but the generator is a cause for concern right now. It's kind of an up and down thing. Some days we think Frank's got it going and he does his best for sure, but then sometimes it has issues again.
Thank you. That's helpful, okay. Especially just knowing how many visits the bookmobile makes and that really is an extension of the arm of our library, not only visiting our schools, but mm-hmm. visiting folks who maybe can't get to the library otherwise. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Councilor Bowen, did you have a question?
I did. It was similar, but really specifically wanted to just hear about sort of what impacts, negative impacts we might expect for having not moved forward with the HVAC plans at this time, and whether this budget creates any space or there are plans outside of this budget to help address some of the bigger issues. Because I think it's important for us to hear the downsides of that, but also what the potential pathway is there.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's definitely a lurking issue. I think our current HVAC system is kind of hanging on by a thread, and there may be some days in the summer or the winter where the library will have to close because we're not able to cool it sufficiently or heat it sufficiently. I also worry, are we going to come in one day and the air conditioning is completely dead? And what would happen then? So obviously those are bigger infrastructure questions and whatnot, but it is a concern. This budget obviously doesn't begin to address that, but hopefully we won't have that catastrophic situation.
Thank you. I had a question. I saw the books subscription line item went up about 8.4%, which seems like a really good thing. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So this line is a state requirement for the state aid program that the library invests annually an amount of materials that is 13% of the total appropriation. So that is where that 296 figure comes from. It's just about 13% of the total figure. But it is a bigger jump, you're right to catch that. And the reason is because last year, the administration asked us to take a haircut on that line and supplement it with other funding sources, such as our Friends of the Library Group or trust funds, in order to meet the requirement that year. So this year, you know, we're hopeful to get the full appropriation here so that we have those other funds available.
Again, that is Allison Babin, the Library Director, City of Beverly, with all that information on the Beverly Public Library. And again, that meeting was held. It's a city council meeting held last night on budgets for the City of Beverly. And again, the entire proceedings can be viewed on BevCam.